Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
If you and I were having a cup of coffee and I gave you 60 seconds to write out a definition of love, what do you think you would come up with? Would it list a bunch of emotions and feelings? Would it focus on you or other people? Well, love is a subject to where all peoples and all tongues since the beginning of time has been infatuated with. And obviously in our culture, man, we're just fascinated. We're addicted to it. But doesn't this obsession show us the eternal need for something that we don't understand? And because we don't understand it, we mislabel it, we misuse it, we abuse it, and we call it things that it's not. Well, today, we're going to look at Scripture to give us a definition of love. My guest is Christopher West, a best-selling author, speaker, teacher, and world-renowned expert on John Paul II's theology of the body. And this week, we get to see a personal side of Christopher with his new book. It's titled, Love is Patient, But I'm Not, Confessions of a Recovering Perfectionist. So on today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, defining love versus describing love. Number two, the difference between love and lust. And number three, how the movie Toy Story 3 has profound truths that are not to be toyed with. Today's show is titled, Addicted to Love. Love, obviously, is the theme of your book. It's the theme of 1 Corinthians 13. But define love for us, Christopher, because the world has a very different definition of love.
Yeah.
The church has a very different definition of love, depending on kind of what church you're going to and the denomination that you're a part of. What is this love the Apostle Paul is talking about in the Scripture?
Yeah, he's not so much defining love as describing love, right? So let's just go through his description. And this will get us to, I hope, a definition. So we all know it, we're familiar with it, but it bears repeating. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. Love is not resentful. Love does not rejoice at what is wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Okay, so the next question is, okay, well, what does that mean? Because you could take those in very different directions, right?
Sure, yeah.
Obviously, love believes all things. That, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you believe everything, because there are things we shouldn't believe, right? There are lies. There are truth. I think we get to the closest to a definition, I would say, of love is this. Love does not rejoice at the wrong, but rejoices in the right. And here's why I think we're getting close to a definition here. I'm going to draw from something Thomas Aquinas said like 800 years ago. He says, genuine love is to choose the true good of another person, even if it costs you. To choose the true good of another person, even if it involves a sacrifice for me. I think there we're getting close to a definition of love. However, what is the true good of someone, right? We have to have a proper evaluation of truth and lies, of goodness and evil, to understand what love is. Love never rejoices in what is wrong. And I'll just throw this out. This is the story I tell in this chapter of the book when I'm talking about love does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. This is where I take an opportunity to talk about pornography. When we take pleasure in pornography, we are rejoicing in the wrong. And And this is a problem. And why are we rejoicing in the wrong? We're not rejoicing in the wrong because there's something wrong with naked human bodies, right? The problem with pornography is not that it shows naked human bodies. The Sistine Chapel shows naked human bodies. The problem with pornography is the manner in which it shows the naked human body. It shows the naked human body as a thing, as an object for my selfish pleasure. But that body is not something. That body is someone. And when I am taking selfish pleasure in somebody else's body, I'm not loving that person. I'm using that person. And I think if we're going to approach a definition of love, we have to say this. The opposite of love is not so much hatred. It's one way to look at it. But I like to insist that the opposite of love is to use another person as a means to my own selfish end. The opposite of love is to toy with somebody, to treat that person as an object. And, you know, these themes come out remarkably clearly in, of all places, the movie Toy Story 3. I urge everybody listening out there, take another look. If you haven't seen it, watch Toy Story 3. It is getting at these profound truths that we are not meant to be toyed with. We're not meant to be played with. We're meant to be loved. We're not meant to be used and discarded. We're meant to be loved. And here I'll tell a little bit about Toy Story 3. So new to the story is Lotso, the stuffed bear, and he is the self-appointed tyrant leader of all of the toys at Sunnyside Daycare. And we learn he's a jerk. He's a jerk to everybody. And we know people like this, people who are jerks to everybody. But I once heard it said, Dustin, and I believe it's true, that behind the eyes of everyone we meet is a story that if we knew it, it would make us weep.
Amen to that. Absolutely. Wow.
And so we get to this point in the movie where we learn Lotso's backstory, and it does give us compassion. Years earlier, Lotso was Daisy's favorite toy. But unfortunately, Daisy left Lotso at a rest stop alongside a highway on a family vacation. It was a mistake, of course. And Lotso journeys back through much hardship and trial. He arrives back at Daisy's house, and he looks in the window, and Daisy's parents had replaced Lotso with another stuffed bear just like him. And the narrator says, this is when Lotso snapped. And he became a monster inside. And what's the point? See, the human being has such a dignity that we are irreplaceable. We are unrepeatable. And we are indispensable. That is getting at the truth of what a human being is. And in order to love another human being rightly, we have to recognize and honor the fact that that human being is indispensable, irreplaceable, and unrepeatable. But here, Lotso got replaced. He was considered replaceable, repeatable, dispensable. And that wounded him so terribly, he takes on this attitude of saying to the rest of the toys, if I can't be loved, you can't be loved either. And at one point, he says to Woody, who is, of course, Andy's favorite toy, he says, you think you're special, cowboy? You're a piece of plastic. You're meant to be thrown away. And of course, this is exactly the opposite of love, to dispense with somebody, to throw them away. And there's another scene in Toy Story, which is very revealing. Barbie, the Barbie doll, is about to fall into a dumpster, and Ken comes to the rescue. And Lotso says, what are you doing, Ken? She's just a Barbie doll. There's 100 million just like her.
Mm.
And Ken says, not to me, she's not. And Barbie melts. She just goes, ah, right? So what's going on there, right? Ken is recognizing that Barbie is not just, you know, a replaceable doll. She's a unique person. That's the whole point. We long to be recognized in our deep humanity as indispensable, irreplaceable, and unrepeatable. And if love only, I put love in quotes there, if love only reaches somebody's repeatable qualities, for example, I love red hair. I've always loved red hair. I think it's very attractive, but my wife is a brunette. If my wife thought my love was only that deep, or let's say shallow, she would think that she had to dye her hair red for me to love her.
Sure.
Or also, if we were out to dinner and some attractive redheaded waitress showed up, if my love only reaches that repeatable quality of red hair, well, it's going to shift from my wife to the waitress. And my wife is going to feel replaced and dispensable. But if my love reaches the unrepeatable mystery of Wendy West, then when the redheaded waitress shows up, my wife is not going to be threatened, because my wife knows that that waitress is not her, and my love has reached her. See, qualities of a person are repeatable. I can find a beautiful red hair in any number of women, but the person, the mystery of the person, is unrepeatable. And love is only mature. Love has only found a solid foundation that lasts when it has reached the unrepeatable mystery of the person.
I forget who said it, but you mentioned, I don't know if it was St. Augustine or not, but this whole idea of love is a sacrifice, no matter the cost to me personally.
Yes. And for the good of the other. That's Thomas Aquinas, actually.
Is it? Okay. And it's just, to me, that is just such a revealing definition of exactly what you're talking about, Christopher, because if there's no sacrifice in it, is it really love? If it's going to benefit the other, that's why we see the world's definition of love and obviously lust. That's a counterfeit of love.
Yes. Yes.
We look at the sacrifice of Jesus and you know, the apostles and just all of our forefathers and everything. There's a sacrifice there, and the daily sacrifices, you know, I think, Christopher, that you and I and most everyone listening to this podcast, we have it so much better than we deserve. And the small sacrifices that God is asking us to make on behalf of our wives and our children are so minimal compared to the gospel. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, "Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the entire Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "And above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." 1 John 4:18, "We love because he first loved us." 1 John 4:8, "Anyone who does not love doesn't know God, because God is love." You know, as we search the scriptures on love, we'll see over and over and over again that love is a sacrifice. And if there is no sacrifice, is there really love? So let me give you my personal definition of love. It's love is a loyalty. It's a fidelity that propels us to action for the good of others, no matter the cost to me. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with Christopher West in his new book, "Love is Patient, But I'm Not: Confessions of a Recovering Perfectionist." We'll hear a great example tomorrow and a story of how love is not rude and how it doesn't get its own way. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. And speaking of the you part, let me give you a little heads up here. Starting in the middle of March, I'm going to be hosting several online weekly groups for porn and sex addiction. All this class stuff that you have listened to over the years, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. But we're going on show number 300 here, and a lot of my teachings are broken up into this podcast. But all of this stuff, I'm going to be teaching online, and I'm going to be teaching out of my new book. It's called The Sex Spiral. And there are four classes to choose from, two on Mondays, two on Wednesdays. And here's the cool thing. It's limited to 12 people. Each class is limited to 12 people. And it's so, so very affordable. So check it out. Go to DustinDaniels.org. And look, here's the best way. It's called discipleship. If you are looking at porn and your life is a mess and you're the only one who knows about it, or maybe your life has fallen apart because the consequences have come, the only way to walk through this is in relationships. Father, Son, and Spirit. God Himself is a triune God, and He is always in perfect relationship with Himself. So you can't do this by simply reading this book or any other book. I want to encourage you to get discipleship. If not here, get it somewhere. And this is also a great way for you to ask personal questions. So once again, jump on the website to learn some more, DustinDaniels.org. If you got a question or a comment about today's episode, join the conversation on the website as well. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor, and you can rate the show. I would love to get your feedback. Rate the show. That also helps us when people are looking for healthy biblical information when it comes to sexuality. Matthew 5:8, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.